of that passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, through to the end of the passage. I commence reading. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the best things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh shall glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. That, as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. We continue in the series of messages I've entitled Sermons to the Natural Man, or Sermon to the Unbelievers. And the series of these messages, as have I said before, are aimed at addressing directly the human conscience, especially those who continue to meet with us Sunday in and Sunday out for the worship of God. And also those who continue to be exposed to the gospel on a weekly basis and yet remain indifferent to the gospel. And my prayer is that the Lord will use these messages and the messages you've heard before to bring about conviction of sin and also show you your desperate need of a Savior and cause you to run to the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin. But also these messages are meant to bring about a deep self-reflection to the consciousness of sin, to bring about that deep, profound reflection to show you what God really thinks of sin as we see through the pages of the scriptures. And the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians, the passage you've read, this is what Paul is trying to address with the Corinthians. As he's writing, he seeks to bring about the message of the cross. And as he brings about the message of the cross, that it will bring about a deep sense of consciousness to sin and show his audience, the Corinthians, but also all of us, on the need to make things right with God. And Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, he shows that there is always two reactions to the message of the cross. When the message of the cross is preached to those who are perishing, it is deemed as foolishness. And to those who are being saved, it is deemed as the power of God. And the message of the cross is the dividing line between Christians and non-Christians. The dividing line is not denominational affiliation or political affiliation or religious ethnicity or your ethnicity or tribe. Paul is showing is that the message of cross, of the cross, when it is preached and presented, there are two reactions. It's either you deem as foolishness or as the power of God unto salvation. So this morning you need to ask yourself, what is your view of the message of the cross? When Christ is presented, what is it that comes to your mind? Foolishness or God's saving power? That's a question you need to answer. That's a question you need to toy with this morning. And that is what divides Christians from non-Christians. And the first thing I'd like us to note is that from the onset, we must clearly understand what the message of the cross is. What does Paul mean when he says the message of the cross? Before we get to see the reaction, but what does the Apostle Paul, when he says in verse 18, for the message of the cross, which is foolishness to some, and which is also to others God's saving power. What is this message of the cross that brings about these two reactions? And a right understanding of this message will help you to see why you react as well you do. And it also helps you to see why the Apostle Paul was not ashamed of this message. The message of the cross is a fact of history. It is a historical fact. The message of the cross is based on inescapable facts of history that cannot be thrown out or avoided. And this is what Paul is really saying. If you've taken time to study modern day cults, or even old cults, or any philosophical groupings that emphasize meditation as a way of getting right with God, or following some religious steps as getting right with God, you begin to be confronted with ideas of sinful men trying to see or trying to come up with ideas or rules on how they can control human beings. And these philosophical groupings or modern day cults, their emphasis is largely on what man can do to get to God. And in the midst of all this, there's a spectrum of different and yet conflicting ideas on how to get about to God. But at the bottom of it all is simply man's ideas about God. But the message of the cross does not start with philosophy or human ideas. It begins with facts, historical facts, that hits us right in our faces. One of those historical facts is the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. That there was a man by the name of Jesus who was born and dwelt amongst us, yet under strange and marvelous circumstances. There was a man who walked this earth, lived this earth, lived our lives. And this man, yet he looked like us in every aspect, he was God. That's a historical fact. Go down the history then, and you'll see this fact about this person called Jesus. And you cannot avoid that fact. But also presented with the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this man Jesus, who lived a perfect life, a sinless life, he was nailed to the cross. He died on the cross. Again, this is a historical fact. His crucifixion was done at a certain point in history, and that cannot be dodged. The cross in the time of the Lord Jesus Christ was really a useless marketing tool to show one's greatness. The cross of Christ was the presentation of capital punishment meted out by the forces of the Roman Empire. It was reserved for those notorious individuals or groupings who rebelled against the authorities of the day. It was reserved for those who threatened the divinely approved social order of the day. And so, when Christ hung on the cross, everyone looked at him as a notorious criminal that has ever lived. As a public display, the crucifixion was geared to shame its victims before, during, and after their death. And it was also a means by which was a warning to those who would be offenders, to show that if you go this route, this will be your outcome. And here the Apostle Paul, when he says, for the message of the cross, which brings about these two reactions to those who hear, this is what he has in mind. He's not talking about a process of comfort. No. He's talking about facts of history that can be researched and show and be seen and be found that this was true. And to the Apostle Paul, the message of the cross, which is a historical fact, has been corroborated by eyewitnesses. And he says, for the message of the cross. But it's not just about the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. The historical fact is that this same Jesus was crucified, was raised from the dead. We are hit, or we encounter the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a historical fact. It's not just philosophy. It's not just rules. These are facts of history. And the Apostle Paul is saying, this message of the cross tells us that Jesus lived. He died. He was buried and was raised from the dead. Eyewitnesses saw him. And they confirmed in their writings what they saw. Think of the disciples. When Christ was crucified, running away from the authorities, hiding. When they see Christ, Him crucified, then raised from the dead, and they saw Him alive. You see how they were filled with boldness to proclaim the death of Christ. And when you read Luke's account in the book of Acts, here were individuals who once upon a time were timid, afraid of authorities. And now they see and encounter the resurrected Jesus. They are filled with courage and boldness, and they are able to stand before authorities and say, "We will not stop preaching Christ." And the reason is simple. We are eyewitnesses. And to stop preaching Christ is to go against our consciences and the fact of what we have witnessed. The Apostle Paul is saying, this is the message of the cross. This is the message of the cross. That we declare that the man called Jesus of Nazareth, something very strange happened to Jesus. He died in place of sinners. A strange death. A death He did not deserve. But through Him, salvation is proclaimed. In His name, we preach Christ. The implication is that the message of the cross condemns human righteousness. The message of the cross condemns human righteousness. It casts offense on all our good efforts. It wipes them away. And it says they are totally worthless before God. And this is what people don't like to hear about the message of the cross. When they are confronted with the truth that Jesus died and the only way you will be reconciled to God is through His death, not through your efforts, not through your religious acts, not through any good works, through Christ. And it is this message, when understood as presented in the scriptures, Paul says, to others they consider it foolishness, and to others the power of God. So having understood what Paul means by the message of the cross, let's then move in the second place to understand what he says the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. The message of the cross is foolishness to non-Christians. And this is what Paul says in verse 18, and especially the second part of that verse. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. In verse 18b there, the second half of the verse, Paul sums up the non-Christian's response to the death of Christ on the cross. He says to them, that is foolishness. And the word that Paul uses for foolishness, another version would say folly. In the Greek, it's the word moria, from which we get the English word moron. And what Paul is saying in bold, clear statement and straightforward statement is that the unsaved world thinks of the message of Christ as foolishness. To the unsaved world, those who preach Christ are like idiots. To the unsaved world, those who preach Christ, to them that's nonsense. To the unsaved world, the message of the cross is silly. It's ridiculous. It does not sit well with them. And this is what Paul is saying. He's using strong terms to show the reactions of the world to the message of the cross. To those who are lost and perishing, to those who have not trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin, to those who have not come to God and accepted His offer of salvation, the message of the cross is insane. It's madness. It's unreasonable madness. That's what Paul is saying. To those who are perishing, the message of the cross is folly. It's foolishness. It's madness. And the Apostle Paul is saying, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. And the Apostle Paul is not speaking in terms of futuristic terms or futuristic language that they will perish. No, he's actually saying, right now, those who have not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, they are in a state of perishing. And the judgment day will simply be a confirmation of their present reality, of their state of perishing. And the Apostle John, in his Gospel, uses the same language in John chapter 3. Let me read to you John chapter 3 and verse 18. John chapter 3 and verse 18. Let's begin from verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Listen to verse 18. He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is already condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And John is also using a present tense there. He's using present participle to show when he says, he who does not believe is condemned already. John is not talking in terms he will be condemned. He's actually saying that the fact that he has not believed in the Son of God stands condemned already. And this is the same language that the Apostle Paul is using here. He's saying, those who are perishing, the message of the cross is foolishness. He's not saying those who will perish. No, those right now who've not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, they are already perishing. Because they look at the message of the cross as foolishness. Have you ever tried to witness to someone who has a sense of self-sufficiency, or who is full of themselves, who feels they've achieved much in life by themselves? But they are also quite religious. Have you ever tried to witness to them and to preach the message of the cross and to show them that all your religious efforts or even all your array of accomplishments is nothing before God? If you try to witness to someone in such a state, I'm sure you'll agree with Paul about their reaction. A person who feels that they've accomplished much in life by themselves and they have a sense of religious attachment or religious affiliation, to come to them and tell them that Jesus died for your sin, you all you need to do is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, they look at that message as ridiculous. They'll argue with you. They'll point to their credentials. They will show you what they've done, not only for the church, but for the community at large. And for you to come to them and to tell them that all this is nothing before God, they'll think you're insane. There's something wrong with you. They'll argue that all their impressive achievements will not count before God. What God do you serve? Who does not delight in achievements that relieve human beings of their misery? What God do you serve? Your message is ridiculous. And the Apostle Paul is saying, this is the problem of human beings. Human beings are blind to their nature. Yes, human beings can achieve much. Human beings have done much. But when it comes to their understanding of their sinful nature, human beings lamentably fell. The effects of sin are seen every day in our communities. Drug addiction, crime, social injustice, racial tension, corruption, sexually transmitted disease. You can go on. Yet human beings refuse to face up to their sinful nature. And one would think, given the tragic condition of human beings, the message of the cross will be welcomed by all. And yet the Bible is saying to those who are perishing, the message of the cross is folly. Why? Because human beings are so blind when it comes to their own self-assessment, their own honest self-assessment. We always want to run away from ourselves and we think the problem is with those others out there. Maybe the problem is education. Let's put money into education and the more we get educated, the more sophisticated our sins become. Those who are perishing, the message of the cross is met with scorn and contempt. It's looked at as ridiculous that I don't have to do anything but to simply believe in someone who died on the cross many years ago. And the Apostle Paul is saying to the perishing world, that is silly. That's madness. That's folly. And that's the reaction of non-Christians to the message of the cross. But in the third place, we see that the message of the cross
is God's saving power.
That's what the Apostle Paul says in the last part of verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And Paul contrasts the reaction of those who are perishing to those who are being saved. And the Apostle Paul is saying, when a child of God, a Christian, looks at the cross, he sees something different from what the world sees. To a Christian, the death of Christ on the cross is the power of God unto salvation. And the word that Apostle Paul uses there, the power of God, in Greek it's the word dunamis. That's where the word comes from. And from that word, dunamis, is where we get our English word dynamite. And the argument of the Apostle Paul is that when you encounter Christ on the cross, there is this power that comes about in your life that just transforms your life. Just as the way a dynamite, when it's thrown on an object, the impact it receives cannot be denied. And he's saying, this is the message of the cross. It is the power of God to those who are being saved, those who acknowledge their powerlessness and have put their hope and trust in the power of the Almighty God to deal with their sins. Those who've understood that they cannot defeat sin, the sin that threatens to dominate their lives, the sin that threatens to ruin their lives, they cannot save themselves, and they've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul is saying, to them who are being saved, that's the power of God. That power of God has been revealed to us on the cross, where the Lord Jesus Christ hung and prayed to his Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. But also on the cross, Christ opened the door of forgiveness for all those who come and believe in him. The cross may seem foolishness to those who are steeped in human sin. But for us who are being saved, it is the instrument that has brought about our salvation. And Paul is saying, God's almighty supernatural power is connected to a specific message, the message of the cross. When the gospel of Christ is preached, God's miraculous power to regenerate, to restore, and to renew sinners is displayed in those who are being saved. The message of the cross is joined with God's power, which demonstrates that the atonement is forever valid in the eyes of God. Why? Because the omnipotent, eternal power of God supports that message, speaks to that message, and confirms to that message in the transformation of lives. The message of the cross is the good news, the only good news that unleashes the power of God, which saves lives. And that transformation cannot be denied. This is why Paul was able to write to the Romans, in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. He was saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It doesn't matter what the public think of it. It doesn't matter whether the public thinks that this is a display of shame. No, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Why? It is the power of God unto salvation. Paul is saying, those who are being saved, when the message of the cross is believed, suddenly that which outwardly seemed foolish and weak becomes divine revelation, divine power, divine salvation. The message of the cross to us who believed in Christ's sacrificial work is dynamic and powerful. The shed blood of Christ as a redemptive price for forgiveness of sin, and His glorious resurrection with all its eternal promises is our blessed hope, our only hope. And when we think of Christ soon coming, we not only look forward with joy, but we know that He will come and vindicate Himself, that truly the message of the cross was not only God's wisdom, but also God's power unto salvation. This is why Paul is able to say, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. Most of us seated here this morning can recall with fond memories of that wonderful day when the power of God came and took residence in your life, and your life was forever changed. 10 years down the line, 20 years down the line, 30 years down the line, 40 years down the line, you can say with Paul, for those who are being saved, the message of the cross is the power of God. The wisdom of God is unfathomable. His powerful ways and His thoughts are past finding out. But He chose to use the sacrificial death of His only begotten Son to be the means to display His infinite wisdom and to exhibit His divine understanding. He chose the cross. And if you are here this morning or listening to me via live streaming, if you are not a Christian, I'm delighted that you were able to find time and listen to God's word. The wisdom of the world cannot deal with the problem of sin. Only Jesus can deal with that problem. How many times have you tried to change? How many times have you promised yourself, this is the last time I'm doing this sinful act? How many times have you tried to follow some steps provided, some philosophical groupings, and yet it has brought you to your knees, lamenting how you failed, and that every time you tell yourself, this is the last time, and yet you fell. All your superheroes, the men that you follow, the women that you follow in sports or in fashion, have failed to provide an answer to the problem of your sin. Why? Because the wisdom of the world cannot deal with the problem of sin. Only Jesus Christ, who died on the cross. Call on Him. He will save you. Believe in His finished work for the forgiveness of your sins. He will save you. And you'll experience what the Apostle Paul says. For those who are being saved, the message of the cross is the power of God. But for those of us who are Christians, the message of the cross is still the power of God for your salvation. Be confident that God is going to vindicate the cross on the day of judgment. You are not on the wrong side. The mockery of the world will fade away like the cracking of thorns in a fire. It will fade away. Don't be intimidated by the really cunning, clever talking professors who mock at your faith. Don't be intimidated. For you continue to sing with Fanny J. Crosby, "Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain." In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, O Lamb of God, bring its sins before me. Help me walk from day to day with its shadows over me. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Or as another hymn writer has put it, on the hill, far away, stood an old rugged cross. I will cling to that old rugged cross and exchange it someday for Don't be intimidated. You are not on the wrong side. You are a living testimony of the power of God. Your life has been changed forever when you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ that wonderful day. And every day that you live, God, through His Word and by the power of the Holy Spirit in you, is making you to become more and more like His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. While the world may mock and ridicule you, they still say there's something about this person that is not in us. The power of God is at work in you. This is the message of the cross. It is the power of God. Oh, that we may live in full assurance of the message of the cross and show the world Jesus saves. Jesus.